Entrepreneurs, small business owners, professionals who seek excellence, bringing the business classroom to you. It's the Business Builder Show. Here's Marty Wolf.
We still got a long way to go. Yes, we all got a long way to go.
Welcome to the Business Builder Show. I'm Marty Wolf, and along with my sidekick, Carrie Carney, we are your hosts for the Business Builder Show. Hello, Carrie.
Hello, Marty.
And our producer, Mr. Tom Jenkins, is also with us today. As always, thank goodness Tom is here.
I got nothing to say. I'm glad to be here.
Because we can't start without you. So I love you, but we also need you, you know?
It's good to be needed.
We're working hard to inform, educate, and inspire our friends who are entrepreneurs, small business owners, and professionals who seek excellence. We offer tips on how to build your business and your career. Little bit different today, Carrie and Tom. Mm-hmm. Today, we are giving up the interview reins to my friend and colleague, Lynn S. Evans. Lynn will be handling the interview portion of the show today. She will be interviewing Dr. Vicki Rackner. This is a little uncomfortable for us, Carrie. We're giving up the reins for the entire interview. This is changed.
Comfortable.
Oh, you feel comfortable. Well, I feel uncomfortable, but it's excellent, excellent. It is a great interview. So our mission today, to kind of set this all up, our mission today is to talk with and about women entrepreneurs and women executives. Now, during Lynn's interview with Dr. Rackner, I ask you to listen carefully to how she dealt with adversity and how she stayed resilient and eventually found her place as a business owner. She has a great story. And in addition to having Lynn handle the interview, we are also encouraging Lynn and Dr. Rackner to promote their businesses in a webinar they have put together to help physicians drive more revenue in the world of the Affordable Care Act. That is the first time I have ever used that phrase, the Affordable Care Act, and you'll hear more about that. So we're talking about physicians, and you know, physicians want to be entrepreneurs also, and so that's kind of the road we're taking down. To set up the discussion with Lynn and Dr. Rackner, we found an article, Carrie, that is titled, Polished, Poised, and Prepared, Confidence Tips from Women Entrepreneurs. It starts out with, when you are a business owner, it doesn't matter how much funding you have, where your college degrees are from, or whom you network with if you are not confident about your ideas. Sounds kind of basic, doesn't it?
Yes, yes. You have to have confidence in what you're offering and how you're offering it. So without confidence, I don't think you're going to get very far in business.
So as a fellow business owner, and this comes from Entrepreneur Magazine, and she says she is a business owner, and she says, challenging the silence of self-doubt, especially when you're faced with a big decision or when you're barraged by the naysayers, this can be challenging. So she talks about some ideas that would help you be more polished, poised, and prepared. And the first thing she says, Carrie, is admit what you don't know. Now, I like that. Now, sometimes we don't know what we don't know.
Yes, and that's different.
And that's a little different, but if you can identify areas where you might be weak. And go ahead, Carrie.
And this is a great opportunity for an entrepreneur to have their eyes open in developing a mentorship with someone.
That's a good idea.
Get a mentor.
Yes.
Someone you can have confidence in and then rely on their expertise to help build your own confidence and build your own business.
And it is often, surprisingly enough, with new business owners, they sometimes, well, a lot of times, don't have the sales and marketing expertise that you need to build your business, which is somewhat surprising, but we hear it all the time, Carrie.
Sales and marketing, the IT information, it goes on and on and on. And sometimes you may have to pay for these services, mm-hmm. So you have to do a great job in vetting out who you're going to pay to help grow your business. But a mentor could even influence who you're paying.
Yes. Another idea to help you be polished, poised, and prepared. Confidence tips from women entrepreneurs is do your research. And we talk about this all the time. Be prepared for that call. Be prepared for a presentation if you're going to an investor. Do the research. And they mention a person in here, Melissa Thompson, and apparently she deals with physicians, which we are going to talk about more. Lynn and Dr. Rackner is going to talk about physicians. She says, well, she's not a doctor, so she compensates by subscribing to medical journals, actually reading them, and engaging in conversations with industry specialists. So she's prepared in that world. Another person talks about that her confidence is a mixture of style and substance. And knowing that I look amazing, man or woman, that's important, and that I have done my homework for the task at hand is a great confidence booster. In other words, polished, poised, and prepared. You need to look good. You need to feel good, Carrie, right?
You need to look good, and you need to feel good, but you must, absolutely must be prepared.
Need to bring it home. You need to be really confident in what you're talking about. Now, you know, you may get blindsided every now and then, but when you do the research, when you study the papers, when you have information in front of you, that's very, very important. Another point, don't pay attention to any disadvantages. Now, what could be an disadvantage? What could be a disadvantage? And she's asking the question specifically of Gen Y female entrepreneurs.
One of the biggest disadvantages are the naysayers.
Yes.
You can't do that. Exactly. Why is a young girl or a young woman treading in the deep waters of male-only dominance?
Yes, and she asked the question, well, is being a woman a disadvantage? And universally, the answer is no, it's not. They don't look at it that way. Another point, and the last point, in polished, poised, and prepared, just because they don't like your business doesn't mean they don't like you. And another way of saying, don't take it personal. If you're pitching something, you've really prepared and you've really sweated over your presentation and they don't like you or they don't like your idea, don't take it so personal, right? Which is sometimes hard, Carrie.
Well, in the sales world, you're going to get kicked in the gut a lot and you got to develop thick skin.
Yep.
But we always said, thank you. Now I know who not to sell to. So you can go out and find someone who's going to be interested in your product or service.
Yes. Great point. We think of next, whoever or whatever it is. So we've been looking at an article, a polished, poised, and prepared confidence tip from women entrepreneurs from Entrepreneur Magazine. Now, we are going to take a short break, and when we come back, you're in for a special treat. My friend, our colleague, Lynn S. Evans will be interviewing Dr. Vicki Rackner. And again, this is a little different. I'm asking you, politely that is, to listen to the nuances of the discussion of how Dr. Rackner really had to face challenges and really overcome challenges. And so I know you're going to really enjoy this article. So you are listening to the Business Builders Show with Marty Wolf. We will be right back after this short break.
Bringing the business classroom to you, it's the Business Builders Show with Marty Wolf. Presenting the thought leaders of today, it's the Business Builders Show with Marty Wolf.
Welcome back to the Business Builders Show. The next few minutes are going to be fun and informative. With me in the studio today is my friend and colleague, Lynn S. Evans. Hi, Lynn.
Hi, Marty.
Nice to see you here today.
Good to see you, too.
Lynn will be handling our interview today with our special guest, Dr. Vicki Rackner. Hi, Dr. Rackner.
Hello, Marty.
Thanks for joining us today. It's great. To set up this discussion, allow me to tell you about Lynn, and then Lynn is going to take it from here. Lynn S. Evans is the founder of Northeastern Financial Consultants. Lynn is a registered financial advisor and has been offering fee-only financial life planning advice since 1990. And you know, a little side note, Lynn is one smart lady. And she does her own radio show, but we're not going to talk about that, Lynn.
No, we're not.
We're not going to talk about that. So this is the Business Builder Show, but Lynn S. Evans is our guest interviewer. Take it from here, Lynn.
Thanks, Marty. Thanks for giving me the opportunity to do this. Vicki, how are you?
I'm great, thanks. And you, Lynn?
Just fine. Let's talk a little bit about your background, because it's quite an amazing story. I know that you, most people would know you as a surgeon and as a physician, but you made a dramatic switch from that world into the world of business and consulting. Tell us about why you did that.
Well, Lynn, if my life had a bumper sticker, it would read, "Heal Thyself." I was actually in a graduate program when I had a dramatic episode. I fainted in the bathroom and was taken by ambulance to the hospital. And by the time I got to the operating room, about half of my blood volume was in my pelvis. So when I said goodbye to my then fiance, I really thought it was the final goodbye. And I woke up in the recovery room so grateful to be alive. And then this thought entered my mind, I'm going to be a doctor and save other people's lives like my own had been saved. And that's exactly what I did. Not surprisingly, I became a surgeon. I had my own private practice here in Seattle. I served as a faculty at the University of Washington School of Medicine. And then I remembered I hadn't had my babies yet. So at 40, I was blessed to become pregnant and had a beautiful baby son. And I had it all figured out. I was in private practice, so I converted one of my exam rooms to a nursery. I brought my son in, and my plan was to work full-time and be a full-time mom. And that worked out okay until I finally started paying attention to the things that people said to me. Like, oh, he's not rolling over yet. Or, oh, he's not crawling yet. And finally, the thing that broke through my denial was the fact that he wasn't speaking. See, I, as a physician, found it very important to help my patients find their own voice. So when my son wasn't speaking, I finally pushed my pediatrician for an exam. And I remember the day that I was given the results of his broad spectrum developmental testing. This lovely woman said, "Now, you've already noticed that your son isn't speaking, but I have to tell you that all of the parts of his life that we measured were behind. And we're going to recommend that we admit your son to our special school to help him with his emerging developmental skills." Well, this school was like every parent's nightmare, to put it quite honestly. Only kids with the very worst kinds of problems were admitted in this school. And this woman was telling me that my son belonged there. And my life just changed overnight. It was as if I had taken my son in my office from the exam room and brought him in to this place where I really was examining him, where something about him was broken and my job was to fix him. I decided to take a leave from my practice in order to fix my son, basically.
And then you developed another business.
I sure did, the business of caregiving.
Yeah.
And
tell us about that.
Well, it was probably the hardest job of my life. So I had been a patient, I'd been a doctor, and I'd been a family caregiver. And what I really understood is that these three people have very different jobs, and they approach their jobs with very, very different perspectives. So when this caregiving episode ended, and it ended, by the way, because my son caught up with all the developmental landmarks. He's got a great brain. It's just maturing on its own schedule. I thought, you know what? There is a real need here for somebody to help these three parties get together and really understand each other and get what they each want within the context of the relationship.
And so then you developed
a business called Medical Bridges to help all parties get what they wanted from the medical system. You know, get better medical outcomes, spend less money, avoid lawsuits.
There's a biggie.
And it was a marketing nightmare.
Really?
You'd think that it would be a slam dunk, wouldn't you, Lynn?
You would think.
Well,
what happened?
I did too. And I think that the challenge was that I couldn't reach the people who really needed my help. If you were struggling in a relationship with your doctor or in a relationship with your patient, you weren't necessarily turning to the internet to see what kind of resources were out there to help you. Now, this was 2000. So the penetration of internet use for medical research was not what it is today, but it was an absolute marketing nightmare. So I had to change. I had to do something else. I thought, why not bring this message to the business community? Certainly they'd be interested in taking care of the rising cost of healthcare. And guess what happened with that?
That was another bomb.
Another bomb.
Ooh. So where did you go from there?
Well, I had this great idea. Well, gee, more and more people are family caregivers taking care of aging parents. What if I help the business community help their employees who are taking care of loved ones? And guess what happened with that?
Same thing, but I know you wrote a book about it, didn't you?
I did. Actually, that was profitable.
Okay.
Because I was able to find somebody who's interested in paying me for this caregiving advice, because there was a huge caregiving industry.
And there still is a need.
Absolutely. And for those of you who are caring for aging parents or for loved ones, I honor you, and I have a sense of the kinds of things that you're going through, and I wish you much strength.
What's the name of that book?
Caregiving Without Regrets.
And that's available on Amazon, I'm sure.
Absolutely.
Okay. Caregiving Without Regrets.
Yes.
Okay. And did that work well?
That worked. But as I was going about that, I started noticing things. I started noticing that I was getting phone calls and letters from more and more of my doctor friends and colleagues who were talking about their struggles running their medical practices. And I completely got it, Lynn, because I think that one of the reasons that I struggled so much in the business community was that doctors have a very low financial literacy.
Yeah.
And I thought,
what if
doctors could just get under the influence of smart people like you, people who really understand how to build wealth, like doctors know how to promote health. And I thought, well, gee, I've been sharing with people tips about how to build relationships with doctors for a decade now. Certainly, I can help financial advisors build business relationships with doctors.
This is a great place to wrap up this segment, this perfect setup. You are listening to the Business Builder Show, and our special guest interview today is Lynn S. Evans. And our guest is Dr. Vicki Rackner. And reminder that this show is for entrepreneurs, small business owners, and professionals who seek excellence. And I think this dovetails in perfectly to what we are working on and what our audience demands of us. So once again, we will be right back with Dr. Vicki Rackner right after this short message.
Bringing the business classroom to you. It's the Business Builder Show with Marty Wolf. Informing, educating, and encouraging. The Business Builder Show with Marty Wolf.
Welcome back to the Business Builder Show, and we have been spending some great time with our guest interviewer, Lynn Evans. Lynn, great interview. And, of course, Lynn is speaking with Dr. Vicki Rackner. So let's pick up where you left off, Lynn.
Yeah, welcome back, Vicki. We were having a conversation up to this point about Dr. Vicki's background in the business ventures that she's tried and failed, and like most good business successful people, you just keep doing it again and again until you find the piece that makes it work. And we were just talking before the break about the fact that Vicki is now working with financial advisors who work with physicians, because she feels that physicians really are, I don't want to use that, well, I'm going to use the word, almost illiterate when it comes to money. They're brilliant in the area of medicine and whatever subspecialties or whatever they've gone to. But when it comes to personal finances, there's a gaping hole. Vicki recognized this and decided that she wanted to try to help other financial advisors learn how to work with physicians. So, Vicki, welcome back, and let's pick up where we left off.
Great, Lynn.
So tell us about the business you have now, the one that's successful.
The successful business is called Targeting Doctors, and what I do is I help people build business relationships with physicians. I've identified 10 laws of physician engagement, and what I find is that when people are not successful in building relationships with physicians, it's normally because they violated one of these 10 laws. And not only do I work with financial advisors, I work with other entrepreneurs who would like to build business relationships with physicians. And one of those subgroups, believe it or not, are physicians who are interested in getting more referrals. So I've got a separate business for them that's called Medical Bridges.
Medical Bridges, is that the one you just referred to before?
Yes, it is. This okay. is the one for physicians who would like to thrive, especially in this era of the Affordable Care Act.
Yeah. I know you told me that you have some webinar that you and I are actually going to record one, but we've recorded one, and we'll put that on my website, lynnsevans.com. So if anybody would like to listen to this, it's all about ways that existing physician practices can remain independent in the face of what appears to be an obvious move towards associating with hospitals or other larger medical systems. So, Vicki, would you like to talk a little bit about some of those ideas?
Well, you bet. Let me just frame the conceptual umbrella here. That is that many of the physicians with whom I speak have lost hope. They feel like they don't have certainly financial control over their life with the rising cost of running medical practices and the decreasing fees and all of the compliance issues. And I'm here to say that there really is hope. That I know that traditionally physicians define their value by the diagnostic codes that they influence and their procedure codes that they deliver. But what I'm here to tell you is that your value, your worth, is much bigger than that. And if you can reframe your value, there are ways of, as you say in the business community, monetizing that value. In other words, doctors make a difference in the lives of patients, in the lives of family caregivers, and in the lives of colleagues. And with a little creativity, you can figure out how to tap into that value and generate additional revenue streams. So let me give you one example, probably the easiest thing that doctors can do to generate more income, which is to serve as an expert in medical malpractice lawsuits. Now, I stumbled in this quite by accident. When I had taken a leave of absence and I was home with my son, One day I got a call from a lawyer who asked me if I might be willing to take a look at a lawsuit. And I remember thinking, anything but another load of laundry. And I was fascinated to look at this lawsuit. And this one led to another and another and another. And I looked at scores of lawsuits. And for me, there were three major benefits. The first was financial. I got paid up to $1,500 an hour to work on these cases that I could do at my own leisure. So certainly the physicians on the line who were interested in generating more revenue have a fast and easy way of generating more revenue. The second was that I got a really good sense of how and why care went off track, which leads to the third major benefit. It made me a better doctor. Because if I knew where the pitfalls were, I could avoid them myself. And so I was able to really look at patient care through a very different perspective. And like I said, it made me a better doctor. So if you're looking for additional revenue, that is the first thing that I'd take a look at.
That's a good one to start with.
Absolutely. And by the way, I did work both for the plaintiff and for the defense. The issues were pretty much the same. It was, you know, when did people stop listening to each other?
Yeah.
So that's one idea. Another idea was really spawned from my vet. You know, my vet really wants me to be a good pet owner, and he wants to promote my pet's health. So what does he do? Well, he sells things in his office to make it easier for that to happen. He sells pet food, he sells books, and he sells toys. And I thought, well, gee, what if doctors could do that? You know, what if they could sell products or services that could support the health agenda that they're promoting? What if a cardiologist offered some weight loss programs or anti-smoking programs? What if a dermatologist or plastic surgeon offered some skincare products? What if an oncologist offered scarves or other wonderful things that people dealing with cancer might want to know about? I think that we physicians have this bias that somehow we shouldn't be thinking about money, we shouldn't be making money. Actually, I think that we physicians have money guilt. We sort of think that we shouldn't be making any money. So anything that borders on entrepreneurial ventures feels uncomfortable for us.
And I think that the rest of all this, there's got to be at least seven of them. You know, if you sign up for on the website, LynnSEvans.com, you can have the whole recording of all the different ways doctors can make money.
There you go. Lynn S. Evans, great interview with Dr. Vicki Rackner. Very informative, very helpful. I love the way it connected it all to business, and what an outstanding job. So, Lynn, thank you so much for being part of the Business Builder Show. And, of course, Dr. Rackner, thank you for being with us today.
Thank you. Thanks, Vicki.
Presenting the thought leaders of today, it's the Business Builder Show with Marty Wolf. Presenting the thought leaders of today, it's the Business Builder Show with Marty Wolf.
Welcome back to the Business Builder Show. Lynn S. Evans and Dr. Vicki Rackner, thanks for a great interview. Now we're going to move into a really different space, someplace that we are going to be talking about more in the next few weeks. And this comes from a white paper, and the title of it is Manufacturing's Workforce. There's balance, and then in parentheses says imbalance. So manufacturing workforce imbalance, and it's an overview of current state of women in manufacturing. Very different from what we talk about, but very important stuff going forward. And this show is for entrepreneurs and small business owners. This is important information for you to understand, especially if you're manufacturing, but for everybody. This comes from Deloitte Consulting in a group called the Manufacturing Institute. It says, it kicks off by saying, in the middle of the resurgence of manufacturing in the U.S., companies are facing a widely acknowledged talent shortfall. Now, there is one source of human capital where a manufacturing has not really tapped it at all, and that is, Carrie?
Women.
Women. So let's talk about that. Across all manufacturing sectors in the United States, women are underrated in the workforce. It says here, women represent nearly 46.6% of the total U.S. labor force, but only 24.8% of the durable goods manufacturing workforce. This seems to me a very interesting opportunity for business people, especially manufacturing. And women in the leadership roles, and we've talked about this in the past, Carrie, there's a real shortage. Now, the new, I think it's CEO of General Motors, maybe COO, but I think it's CEO, Mary Barra, that has kind of created a lot of firestorm of discussion about people in those kinds of industries. But so this white paper is from 2012, and Deloitte Consulting and the Manufacturing Institute set out to find out why manufacturing isn't attracting, retaining, and advancing its fair share of talented women. Now, I would say one of the reasons might be that there's an awful lot of people out there who still think that manufacturing is dirty and grimy and unpleasant. Now, I'm sure there might be places where that exists, but in our world today with technology, manufacturing is a whole new bowl of wax. It's a whole new world out there, Carrie.
Absolutely.
Now, we've been in place. You go into a Procter & Gamble plant, you'll see a whole different world. You'll see advanced manufacturing technology, which is exciting. If you've never seen a manufacturing plant, it's actually exciting. Now, one of the things they talk about this in this white paper is something called the STEP Initiative Overview, and it talks about the Manufacturing Institute in collaboration with Toyota, Deloitte, the Apollo Group, and the Society for Manufacturing Engineers is sponsoring the STEP Initiative, which is a program focused on research, leadership, and recognition of women in manufacturing. Now, here's what STEP is all about. The first annual STEP Awards will honor women in science, technology, engineering, and production who have demonstrated excellence at all levels of manufacturing from the floor to the C-suite. Now, Carrie, we kind of knew about this event, didn't we, about these STEP Awards?
Yes. We did some research, and for 2014, there's going to be 160 women recognized across, as you mentioned, different platforms, from the C-suites to production to the actual manufacturing of the product.
Right.
And we have a guest that has signed on that is a big STEP winner.
One of those award winners is Denise Stanislawczyk, and she is with ABB Measurement Products in Warminster, Pennsylvania, and she's going to be our guest in a few weeks. So we're excited about that, you know, in terms of manufacturing and women leadership. And so I'm really fired up about that. So let's talk about what they found out in this white paper. It says, the business case for women in manufacturing. There is a compelling business case for the attraction and retention and advance of women within manufacturing companies today. There's a business case. This doesn't just feel good. There's a business case. Why is that? Because women are critical to addressing the skills gap. If half of our workforce is out there and available, and we're not tapping into it when you need it in manufacturing. And is labor a real challenge in manufacturing, Carrie?
That is probably one of the biggest challenges in U.S. manufacturing today. Skilled employees to run the critical equipment and have the knowledge base to make top quality worldwide products.
So much so. It says in this white paper, access to a highly skilled, flexible workforce will be the most important factor in creating value over the next 3 to 5 years, even more important than product innovation and increased share. So finding employees in these manufacturing plants is very, very critical to our growth. However, many manufacturers are already experiencing problems or severe shortage in, listen to what kind of skills they want, skilled production workers, engineer technologists, scientists, and design engineers. Women represent manufacturing's largest pool of untapped talent. Collectively, women earn more than half of the associate's, bachelor's, and master's degree in the United States. Did you listen to that? Women are earning the degrees. Now, allow me, Carrie, to go off a little bit and talk about STEM careers and what STEM stands for. And this is important for our business today. STEM stands for careers or education in science, technology, engineering, and math. And an article that I found is talking about women in science, technology, engineering, and math. And they say STEM careers may be just right for many women. However, there's some challenges. One of the challenges is there's a shortage of mentors, right? If they're not working in there, there may be a shortage of mentors in manufacturing. So they have some solutions for all of these questions. And solution one, too, if there's a shortage of mentors, try to find one or join professional organizations, which is a great way to help you get through all of this.
You'll probably find in the segment one we talked about mentors. By joining an association, you'll find a kindred spirit.
Right.
There's probably a successful woman who has achieved a level within a manufacturing or their own business that would love to help a young female entrepreneur or business person to carry the torch.
Another challenge might be the lack of acceptance from coworkers or supervisors, and that's certainly understandable in male-dominated fields, and really look for companies who look to hire women. And then the most important or another important part is look for, basically educate yourself. And to wrap up this little segment before we close is, this is a very important item here. Finally, research indicates that organizations with diverse leadership are more profitable. So this diversity and women in the workplace is very, very important. Fortune 500 companies with percentages of women officers had a 35% higher return on equity and a 34% higher total of return than companies with fewer women executives. So there is a business case for looking for women in all phases of business. However, we really focused on manufacturing today. So we need to wrap up, believe it or not, this segment. So thank you again for being part of the Business Builder Show. We appreciate you taking time to be with us. Lynn S. Evans, thank you so much for your contribution to our show. To learn more about Lynn, go to her website, lynnsevans.com. Carrie and Tom, as always, thanks for your help and support. Next week, Bob Funk, the CEO and president of Express Employment Professionals, will be with us. Great, great interview. We're going to talk about the changing dynamics. Is the Affordable Care Act a game changer for how companies operate? Fascinating. Want to learn more about what we talked about today or any of our past shows? Go to businessbuildersglobal.com. That's businessbuildersglobal.com. Thanks for listening and have a great week.
Bringing the business classroom to you. It's the Business Builder Show with Marty Wolf.